Hey, guess what? TaylorMade putting on the full armor of God. This is it. It's the last week of this series. Have you guys had fun learning about the armor of God? I've had so much fun learning about the different pieces of armor. I've learned so much that I've never learned before. Because how many of you, I mean, by a show of hands, been like, look, Roman armor, that's been my thing. I have studied it. I know it. No, right? That's like most of us. None of us are that big of history buffs, I guess. But this has been really kind of cool learning about all these pieces and things like that. I was in the Army, and I used to have to wear body armor. But this stuff is completely different. And so seeing how it was made and seeing what it was used for, the different tactics and things like that, and then how that all translates into Ephesians 6, It puts things into a different perspective. I think the one thing that really, really shocked me the most has been the helmet. Do you remember when we were talking about the helmet and about, you know, we think that like that's where we think all of our thoughts are at and it's protecting our thoughts. But in reality, to them, they believe that all their thoughts came from their heart, and because they had not discovered what the brain does. They really believe that the brain was essentially the antenna to God or to the divine. And so I was like, wow, that changes like everything. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Well, and on top of all of that, not only does the church work as a team when it comes to the armor of God, you depend on others. So, you know, I depend on you to be armored up when we go into battle. And you depend on me to be armored up when we go into battle. Because if we're not ready, we'll get destroyed spiritually. You know, when one of us is lacking, it affects others. You know, one of the things that I've always one of the things that I've learned about sin is not a singular thing. It is not something that affects only you. It affects the others around you. It affects the people that you've done it to. For sure, but it also affects a lot of things going on into the future. I mean, think into the past, some of the sins that have been committed and how it's changed our world. But it works that way for blessings as well. So, church, we got to armor up, right? Anyone else have anything they want to share that they've learned thus far from our series that's really stood out to you? Pokey stabby things, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you just remember the illustrations, I guess. So. Cool. Well, I know I threw y'all guys under the bus. And it's like, hey, tell me stuff. So we are going to have questions today. So just so you know, I like hearing answers, and I like hearing what you guys have to say. So please, feedback. It's awesome. Let's read our scripture right now. You're going to see, we don't have that written up yet. It's still a mystery, isn't it? What is it? All right, do you guys know what it is yet? By a show of hands, how many of y'all know, like, I know what this is? I know I didn't tell you. I kind of told you. I told you some of it. I didn't tell you the whole thing. All right. Well, let's get into our scripture today, and let's see if y'all can figure this out. We've gone through all of the pieces of armor that's listed, that is obviously listed. So we're going to talk about this last piece, okay? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, as Ephesians 6:10 through 18 starts with. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Dramatic pause. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And that's Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. So did you see it? Do you see it? What is it? You're like, what? There's no more armor left. It doesn't talk about an armor piece. You're right. It doesn't talk about an armor piece. But today, our mystery is revealed. Prayer, requests, and alertness. Prayer, requests, and alertness. Okay? Because here's the deal. I'm gonna shock y'all. You can have all this armor. You can have the strongest shield in the world. But unless you do something with it, it's useless. And that's where this comes in. Okay? All right. So, wait a minute. There's an asterisk. That's right. So let's take a closer look at our scripture today. Okay? So we're going to look at this verse in the NIV. I'm going to put it together with 6:17 and 18. Okay? It says this, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. That's what we just read, right? But when we look at our passage in the NIV, it looks like it's in two different paragraphs. So that would suggest that it's two different thoughts. How many of y'all have a different version of the Bible that you use other than the NIV? I know I have a bunch of different Bibles that I use. You want me to show you an example? Okay, so this is the NASB. This is one of my favorite literal translations of the Bible. This is much closer to the original Greek than it is a more less of a paraphrase. So the NIV is kind of like a blend between paraphrase and literal translation, because literal translation can sometimes be a little difficult to read. NIV is set up to be able to be read by someone with a fifth grade education. Did you know that? NIV. NLT is like a sixth grade education. So, well, I mean, if you think about it, that's a good thing, because we want people to start reading the Bible earlier and earlier, right? But here's the thing. The NASB, if you read the NASB, there's some words in there that are a little more difficult. And that's because they're more precise. The Bible was written by adults. And they were educated adults. Just because they're in the past doesn't make them stupid. There's a lot of people that are older than me, and they're not stupid. Shocking. No? Yes, I'm not shocked by that. There's tons of people older than me that are much smarter than me, and I guarantee you they're smarter than me. Whether book smart or just street smart or just wise, if you think your generation is the smartest one because you got the internet, you're wrong. I'm telling you, someone had to put that stuff on the internet. Someone has to program the AI. Okay? You ain't the smartest. So, even back then, they were smart people writing smart things. They weren't developing a language. They had a fully developed language. But here's what it says in NASB. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Wait a minute. Do you see something interesting there? Just right there at the beginning, what do you see that's interesting? What did they do? What did the NASB, the riders of the NASB, what did they do to the helmet of salvation? It's all caps. Very important. Emphasized. Like, this is a thing. If you look at the rest of the scriptures, when you're looking at the different articles of armor, they're all like that. But then we have, and the sword of the Spirit. That's small. Except Spirit's capitalized because it's the Holy Spirit. Which is in the Word of God, period. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Yeah, it ends on a comma because it goes into something else. But this again suggests that prayer is being alert and it's not part of the armor of God, but you ready for this? The ever so vaunted King James Version. You're like, Pastor Scott, you've never preached out of the King James. I know. But check this out. It says, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, colon, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we see a colon. This means that the KJV suggests that praying and being alert are part of using the sword of the Spirit. What is behind a colon is supposed to be related to or elaborating the previous text. Did you know that? That's what a colon does. Okay, so let me confuse you a little bit further if I could, all right? The New King James Version, the one that's written in modern day English, departs from the King James Version on this verse. This is what it says. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, semicolon, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end, to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Looks similar, except semicolon. What does a semicolon do? No, that's a colon. Colons do lists. Well, kind of. They can separate the lists. What does a semicolon do? Oh, I know. As long, it's okay. I had to study this one too. Anyone remember what a semicolon does? We use them, don't we? Huh? And? Yeah, that is actually one. It's like a way to say and, yeah. So, all right, so New King James Version uses a semicolon, which suggests that there is a connection between the two closely related and dependent clauses. It's a connection between two closely related and dependent clauses or complete sentences. Okay? And it takes two sentences and makes it into one sentence. It is a stronger relationship than a comma, but a weaker one than a period, meaning that there would be separation, but also connection. Even more confusing is how we can use semicolons. It could suggest that the semicolon is what is called a supercomma, or the and, meaning it is part of a list. That would mean that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, prayer and supplication, the action of asking, begging, or something earnestly or humbly, okay, says requests, in the Spirit and being watchful or alert. So that would mean that the sword is all three of those. So this is what we're left with. Prayer and being alert. And so prayer, we're going to put prayer and request together because those two words are basic. They basically come from the same root word, but they're separated out for emphasis, okay? So prayer and being alert are part of the sword of the Spirit or prayer and being alert is another part of the armor of God, or prayer and being alert is a completely new part of Scripture and is not part of the armor of God at all. And you're all sitting there going, I am completely confused and lost. What are you doing? Why are you doing this to us? English is hard. I know English is hard. To confuse you more. Even Greek New Testaments are not 100% in agreement with each other about this scripture. The one that I use shows a period, which suggests that prayer and being alert connect all the way back up to verse 14, which says that we need to stand firm. So we would stand firm in prayer and being alert. And it suggests that the armor of God is gained by being in prayer and being alert. I believe the most likely translation for this whole thing is that prayer, supplication, making requests, and alertness is a demeanor, which is your attitude of how those who take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit are to act. Meaning this is how saved people fight their battles. Through prayer, requests, and being alert to what the enemy is up to and to what God is up to. All right, first question. Now that I've completely got you guys all mixed up, what do you think? What do you think? How do you think this all fits together? Is it another piece of armor, or is it like a part of the armor? Or I'm just curious how everyone kind of has thought about this. I mean, some of us have our favorite version of the Bible, and we use that one, and we're like, I live by this one. Okay, you had something you wanted to say. Yeah. Sure. So it's your demeanor. So you're with me on the demeanor thing. Okay. Is anyone, I really want to hear what you guys have to think about all this. Yeah. Covering it all. Yeah. Yeah. This is, I'll be honest with you. I'm sitting back and I'm going, well, this is very interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. How in the world does this help us? Well, simply put, a well-armed soldier in Christ's army is going to be one that is continually praying in the Spirit and is alert. Whether prayer is a seventh piece of equipment, it's honestly really debated, and it's going to be debated until we get to heaven. Grammar suggests that it's not, or else being alert, which is a parallel to prayer, would have to be considered a piece of the equipment as well. But the question is irrelevant. Yes, I just spent the last 15 minutes talking about something completely irrelevant. For whether it's a piece of the equipment or the demeanor with which the equipment is worn, neither prayer nor being alert is optional for believers. By definition, to be Christ's soldier is to pray and to keep alert. Without prayer, request, and alertness, all of the armor of God would be worthless and useless. So, I say all of that for one very important piece here. Don't get so caught up on the periods and commas, semicolons and colons. Because honestly, there's a lot of people, especially in church circles, that can really get stuck on these things. I literally just spent 15 minutes talking about it. And I'm telling you, there's some Christian English teacher out there is so excited I just did that. Good for them. I can literally hear my college English 3 professor right now just like, yay, in my brain. But she's not here. So I don't know if there's anyone in the room that's like, I love English. Has just been like engaged into this. But I think most of you, given from what I'm seeing here, have kind of glossed over. Some are asleep, and that's okay. English can be boring. So what do you say we turn it up a little? How about I start over? Okay, so tailor-made, putting on the full armor of God, prayer, requests, and alertness, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. So prayer, along with perseverance, is in fact the way to keep alert. Notice the similarities in this in our key verse that we were just talking about with this one from Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, be in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. It sounds like the peace of God is brought on by our prayers. It is engaged by our prayers. And that action of peace guards our hearts and our minds. And that sounds a lot like what? Something that guards you. Sounds like what? Shield is a part of it. The armor. It sounds a whole lot like armor, doesn't it? Man, we just talked about armor. That right there is like, that's 5 of the pieces right there. Protecting us. Giving it. Wait, there's the word peace. Where do we see that one? The feet. Right? I know. I mean, think about it. What is it? God, which transcends all understanding. What is understanding? It's your knowledge, right? Will guard your what? Okay, now the English translation turns it into hearts and minds. The original one says hearts. Why? I just said it. Because the heart was the seat of not only the emotions, but also the thoughts. This was like the old school brain. The helmet is your connection to God. The breastplate of righteousness is what protects your heart. So, God is going to protect your heart and your mind. And who? So, can you do it without Jesus? Well, that's fun. Because a lot of people try to do all this stuff without Jesus, don't they? They think like, man, I can get peace without Jesus. No, not really. I could be righteous without Jesus. No, not really. I can be good enough. No. I'm going to tell you something. When you get to heaven, there's not a scale. There's a judge. And let me tell you something. You're guilty. We all are. Period. I meant that period. No semicolons here. All right. Ephesians 6:18 says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Okay, that's our verse, right? Going back to Ephesians 6:18, it says, one more thing I want you to see here. There isn't any difference intended between prayers and requests, which I talked about. By using both words, Paul is only emphasizing prayer. The same word translated requests is used again in the second half of the verse, but it's translated as praying. Prayer is the focal point of this whole verse mentioned 4 times. The word all is also used 4 times, one of which is the NIV translates as always. With this repetition, Paul underscores how important prayer is for all of life, not just part of your life. The believer's entire life is one large prayer to God. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Savior. Is he your Lord and Savior in your life? You believe in Jesus. Guess what? Your life's a prayer. You sitting here right now, you're praying. You're talking with God, and I'm going to get into that in just a second. Okay, so in keeping with the corporate focus of the letter, however, the prayer is not individual and self-centered. It's for the readers, for all of them together. So my next question is this. Now that I've confused you thoroughly and we've done like 400 bunny trails, you're like, oh my goodness, there's so many bunny trails. What is prayer? Okay, it's a conversation with the Lord. What is prayer? What was that? You're thinking, okay. Combination? Yeah. Right? Yep. Thankfulness, requests. It's a conglomeration. Huh? It's praise. Sitting on daddy's lap. What do you got? It's your personal relationship. What else you got? Anybody? What is prayer? Like, is prayer only done with your voice? Is prayer only done in your imagination? Is prayer only done through your heart? What are some other ways that prayer is expressed? Physically doing for others. Think about this. The Bible says that if you want someone to be healed, you have to do what? You have to lay your hands on them. Okay? So you have to lay your hands on people if you want them to be healed. Now, I've had people I've been on the phone with, and I've prayed for them, and they've been healed. Did I put my hand on them? Yeah, I did. You're like, how in the world did you do that? Because it's my spirit. Now, we do this in church. We like to lay hands on others, and it makes some people really uncomfortable, especially with where you put your hands. I've been in churches, sorry. I've been in churches before, man. They love like oil. Have you ever like been like in the oil church? They're like pouring the stuff everywhere. It's like they went to Costco and got the olive oil from Costco, and they're just, I don't want to think about what they're having to spend on carpet cleaning, but goodness gracious. I mean, we've got oil here too. It's right up there on the altar. If anyone wants to get prayed for and anointed with oil, I'm more than happy to do that. In fact, if the Lord leads me, I'll do it, and that's why we have it. I like being prepared, because that's like having your armor on. You want to be prepared, right? You may not need your shield today, but you never know. You might need your shield today. Right? But here's the thing. I remember being in this church in Mexico on a missions trip. Yeah, you're like, yes, Mexico. I went to Mexico. And it was a good thing. I was a teenager, and we were good in Mexico. We didn't do bad things in Mexico. But anyway, we were there on a missions trip, and this pastor in this church, and it was a dirt floor church, and it was, I mean, no air conditioning. It was a nighttime service, man. And I think this guy, I mean, he was Pentecostal for sure, but he was, like, really into, like, having people slain in the spirit. Now, let me be clear. I believe in being slain in the spirit. I think it's a real thing. I think it's an absolutely real thing. But this guy was like obsessed with it. It was like a point of pride for him almost. And I was like, this guy is not cool. But anyway, he would come up to you and he'd anoint you with oil. Then he'd put his hand right here on your forehead and he'd start pushing. I'm like, stop pushing on my head. Of course, he doesn't understand me because he doesn't speak English. Anyway... Was that prayer? Huh. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a little misguided for sure. I mean, I know some of my friends, they're like, I just went down because he was not going to stop pushing. I mean, some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Do you have a story? So there's a question like, is that prayer? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Again, I'm not the judge. I've said this 100 times. I'm not the judge. I don't get to do that. Now, I can have judgment about the situation and be like, dude, that's weird. And I just ask, where's the baño? And then I'd go take care. I'd just go away for a little while. Don't have, if you know Spanish, you know what I'm asking. I'm like, I'm going to go to the baño now and get away from the potty.
Oh.
You know, like sometimes, yeah, you're going to go to the restroom because I don't feel like getting my head pushed on with an oily hand today. But is it wrong? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Now, you know, I've seen these videos, like, you see some of these, like, televangelists and stuff like that, and they do, like, this wave with their hand or something, and it's like this whole crowd of people will fall out in the spirit, and I'm like, huh. Prayer is interesting. I mean, I just did this, and none of you fell out, so I guess this was not exactly what God wanted me to be doing. No, I'm preaching right now, but here's the thing, guys. I'm going to tell you, falling out, being slain in the spirit is a real thing. Praying in tongues is a real thing. Getting healed is a real thing. All this stuff is real things. And just like everything else in the world, if it's abused, it's wrong. Because it can be abused. They're the tools of the spirit. But just like a hammer can be used to put in a nail, it can also be used to bash in a head. And one of those things is a good thing, and one of them is not. Do you have some? Force you to talk in tongues or you couldn't go eat. That's horrible. By the way, that does not happen at AG Kids Camp or at youth camp. I can't say the same thing about general counsel. I mean, they expect that. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I've never been. So, prayer, however, has some very specific functions, doesn't it? It does. It has some very specific functions. But let's look at some scripture and see what it says about prayer. So let's go all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning is from the book of Genesis. So we're in the book of Genesis where prayer is first mentioned in the Bible. Anyone know where that is? Genesis chapter 4, it says this, Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. This is the first time prayer is described and presented in Scripture. The basic definition of prayer is that it's an activity where we speak to the Lord and we also speak about the Lord. It is, in this scripture, prayer isn't mentioned by name, but rather what the people who were praying would do. They'd call on the name of the Lord. Okay? So, the people would call upon the name of the Lord. And so they started talking to God. And sometimes he'd even respond. And here's the thing. You see the word that's capitalized right there? It's capitalized for emphasis. They call on the name of the Lord. Remember what the definition of the word Lord is? Is the Lord your buddy? No. Is the Lord just your pastor? It's your master. I'm not your Lord. I'm just an under-shepherd, that's all I am. But here's the thing. Calling upon the name of the Lord. You know, my kids do this sometimes. They call on the name of the dad. Dad! There's nothing to eat! And then by a miracle, I open a cabinet and there's food. See, I got miracles too. I can open a fridge and there's water. I can turn on the spigot. Water. I don't even have to tap a rock for that one. It's crazy.
Wow.
Dad, I'm hungry. Food. Go eat ramen. Well, I don't want ramen. Then you're not hungry. I've had ramen for 4 days. You know, the Israelites walked around the wilderness and ate manna every day for 40 years. Get over it. Ramen's fine. Okay, it's not nutritionally good. My wife will definitely tell you I am wrong on that. My wife's a dietitian, if you don't know. So here's the thing. When you call on the name of the Lord, you're doing so in reverence. What does reverence mean? High respect. Submitting yourself. Understanding that you're lower. How many of y'all have ever gone to God and been like, God, I need you to do this? I'm just going to say that's probably not going to go over well. God, show up and do what I want. It doesn't work that way. Not unless what you want is what he wants. Genesis 18:22-23 says this, the men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? So here we see Abraham does what? Okay. This is kind of confusing because this is a contradiction, isn't it? Because Abraham is remaining standing before the Lord, but then he approaches at the same time. How is he approaching? In prayer. That's how he did that. See, the understanding is that not only is Abraham drawing closer to God, but in addition to that, he is drawing closer to God physically as well, but also drawing closer to God intimately. Can you be intimate with a Lord? Yes, as long as you understand where you sit in that relationship. Abraham wants to have a more intimate conversation with God, so he draws near. He then intercedes for the people of Sodom. He then asks God a very direct question that challenges God. Because God was fully intent on just destroying it all. You want to know why? Because he already knew the answer to Abraham's questions. But here we go. This is where we go. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Is that reverent? Is that irreverent? Is it intimate? Guys, those of you who are married or have a girlfriend, have you ever been wrong and the lady has told you that you're wrong? Look, the Bible is pretty clear that the man is the head of the household, right? The husband's the head of the household. He's supposed to be the head. I get that. And so, you know, wives... The wife is the neck. That is not biblical. We'll talk about that. But anyway. But I'll be honest with you. My wife's been right a lot. And I'm a pretty dumb guy if I don't listen to my wife. Sometimes though, you just have to be direct with God, especially if you're upset. I mean, I could just hear Abraham going, hey, far be it from you to do such a thing. You should not be doing this. Are you really going to kill the righteous and the wicked? I get killing the wicked, but you're going to kill the righteous too? Is this really what you're going to do? Is this what the judge of the world is going to do? You're going to kill both the righteous and the wicked? Abraham is respecting God's will, and that he goes, question mark, is that the right thing to do? He's allowing God to answer. This is important, especially for all of us. A good way to show respect when you disagree with someone is to ask a question. Stop making disagreeable statements and ask questions. So many of us assume we know exactly why someone is doing something, but in reality, we are all different people. And God is absolutely different than we are. So if you want to be respectful and honoring God and you think something is going wrong in your life and things are going badly in your life, honestly, the best thing for you to do, instead of getting all mad and hot and bothered, just ask him a question. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Because guess what? That is respectful. You could be mad at someone and still respect them. You can disagree with someone and still respect them until you accuse them. But when you question, you're not accusing. Now, some of us will get offended by the question because we assume a statement. Stop that. Don't do that. It's a question. It's not a statement. I know it's English again. Periods, question marks, different things at the end of the sentences. Abraham is respecting God's will, but he's also appealing to God as the judge. He's looking for justice. And this is a constant, this is a very consistent aspect of prayer in the Bible. Prayer is intimate communication. This is my definition of prayer. Prayer is intimate communication to God with great reverence and respect to him. First and foremost, it is a way to draw near to him and align yourself to God's will. And this can be done on our behalf, and it can be done on behalf of others. And when it's done on behalf of others, this is what we call in Christianese, what? Starts with an I. Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer, it's praying on behalf of others. I'm going to tell you, my mom would intercess for me all the way through high school, and I'm sure happy she did because, man, I could have been bad. I wouldn't have been here. I guarantee you, if my mom had not been on her face in prayer, I would not be in front of you right now. Neither would you because I would never have met your mom. Here's another thing. Prayer can be done in just as a request for provision, asking for what we need in that moment. Think about the Israelites and what they had to learn in the desert for the manna. They needed provision, and they cried out to God. Well, they cried out, they complained to Moses first, and then they ended up crying out to God, complaining, and he provided food for them. And he gave them manna for 40 years. How many of y'all want to eat the same thing for 40 years straight? I've been like really like digesting a lot of these videos on how to cook steak in a bunch of different ways. And I'm like, that's really cool. That's really cool. That's really cool. And then I realized, I'm like, you know, if I did that, I'd get so sick and tired of steak. And I like steak. I don't want to get tired of steak. It's like when you're in college and you have too much pizza and you're like, I just need to go to Taco Bell. Because, you know, you don't have no money because that's where you so that's where you go. You don't have a car. It's a long way. Anyway, so I want to look at another example in Scripture about prayer. And this one comes from Jesus himself. Y'all may know this part, this verse. It says, And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. What's the reward? What's that? No, they got a reward. What's their reward? They got the attention of the people. There you go. Guess what? Being popular is a reward. You can be popular. But that's all it is, and popularity fades. I'm still waiting for that to happen to me, to become popular, but that's you know, not here. It is it's other people seeing them. That's their reward. And that's it. That's all they get. Jesus goes on. He says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray for your Father. Sorry, pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What is this? What's that? I get that, but what is happening right now? Yes. But what exactly is this? Lock yourself in a room, close yourself off, be separated from everyone else, come close to Him, intimacy. Create the intimacy. Be in a place of intimacy with the Lord. How many of y'all know how to get intimate with others? Yeah? If y'all are married, y'all better know how to get intimate. If you have kids, I know you know how to get intimate. I love that. Thank you, Eric. We know how to get intimate, so we have to get intimate with God. Okay? Have your focus on Him. Because He's going to see what is going on. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. What is this? Honor. Reverence. God is the most holy. In the temple of the Lord, He would only appear to people in the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. By giving God the reverence that He deserves, we get to approach God. Same as that. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is where a person praying aligns themselves with God. This is that pattern that Scripture shows us from the very beginning. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And there's the provision. When we seek God intimately, what we ask for can be given to us. At the same time, when we are intimate with God, our desires align with His will. The armor is God's armor. It fits us and is to be used by us, but it's His. The sword is God's sword and should only be used for Him and His will. We know that it's not always the case that way, though. People over history have misused the word of God, and they're going to have to answer for that. But I want you to realize something. When you're armoring up, you're armoring up in something that's not yours. What is this section called? It's called the armor of God. It's God's armor, but it's made to fit you. It's tailor-made to fit you. And so therefore, once you've armored yourself with his armor, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. So when our scripture tells us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, what is the scripture saying? Should we constantly be walking around with our head bowed and our eyes closed? How many of y'all want to walk around like that? No, it doesn't mean that at all. How in the world do you expect to be alert if your head's down? How in the world are you supposed to know what's happening if your head is always down and your hands are always closed and you shut yourself off from the world? You'll have no idea what's happening. People do that too. Well, I'll just pray for it. Get out and do something, people, seriously. Your prayer closet is great, but some of y'all need to get out of the prayer closet and go do stuff. Remember what God said. Sometimes you talk too much. You babble. And honestly, I think a lot of us babble because we're afraid to go do stuff in the first place. There is a time and a place for intercessory prayer. And I absolutely believe that. But don't confine your prayer life to the prayer closet. You need to make prayer not only something you do intimately with God, but also something you live out. It needs to be your demeanor. It needs to be who you are. It needs to be what you're known for. People who are wearing armor get noticed. People notice you. The devil is going to try to influence you daily to forget that you are in spiritual conflict. The busyness of life often gets in the way of our prayer and intimacy with God. That's why we have to be actively, spiritually fighting against the evil spirits of this world. There's a wonderful book I was given to by a pastor in North Dakota, and I actually put it back here. I want to grab one real quick and show it to you. So it's this right here. I've got four copies back here, and I'm taking one, so you can have this one if you want. I've got tons in my, I got more that I can print off and things like that. I received this from a pastor friend of mine in North Dakota, and the book is called Spirits That Influence. Okay, yeah, you've seen this. So he wrote this book because he was able to, and he's probably in his late 80s right now. He's been a pastor a long time. He's a pastor emeritus now, I believe, up there in North Dakota, which means that he's a retired pastor, but he's still at the church and does stuff. Okay, Elizabeth, that's called pastor emeritus. That's what all pastors hope to become. That's how we retire. We don't actually retire. We just become emeritus. but here's the thing. This book, Spirits to Influence, is really, really good because it points out dozens of the different spirits that are in this world that he's been able to identify either through Scripture or through his experience in life. And it's maybe not the full comprehensive list of all of them. I'm sure there's more demons in the world than what's written here, but these ones cover a lot of bases. So as a church, I want to tell you something. When we're intimate with God, and when we're armored, we can have great effect on the spiritual realm, corporately. Did you know that? When you are alone and you're praying and you're in the Spirit, and you're praying against the spirits, you can have an effect on the spiritual realm. Did you know that? So here's what's going to happen. You know how every single week we do this whole prayer thing? I'm going to add something to it. Starting in 2 weeks when I get back. I want to start praying against one of these spirits every single week. You know why? Because we're at war. A lot of us just like sitting down, but I say let's fight. Y'all want to fight? You want to fight right now? And y'all like, man, I'm tired of sitting here and listening to your voice, listening about commas and semicolons and all that. I get that. So let's fight. You want to fight? Anyone feeling frisky for a fight? Okay. So, the key to success in praying against these spirits is preparation. So, if you have not put on your armor, spirits are definitely going to overpower you. Acts 19, 13 to 18 says this, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? That is going to set you back a little bit, isn't it? You ever talk to a, you ever like pray against a spirit and they're like, oh yeah, and who are you to stop me? Anyone ever had a conversation with an evil spirit like that? Well, it happens. It does. I remember another moment in Mexico. I know it's the same church with the pushover guy. But here's the thing. We had a lady walk into the church. The lady was definitely demon-possessed. I mean, bodies don't move that way. And for a teenage boy, seeing all this, I'm like, whoa, that don't happen in America. It does. We just have a lot more people to hide it with. Here's the deal. All right. So the demon says this. Who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. How many are you ready to fight the spirits now? Let me reiterate. Armor up. Because if you don't have the armor, you're going to get hurt. I told my wife when I started praying, when I started using this book in my prayer life, I said, I want you to be aware of something, and I'm doing this. And there's the potential that bad things are going to happen. Because guess what? The enemy doesn't like it when you do this. The enemy loves it when we just sit here and just listen to messages and then go home and do nothing about it. He has no problem with that. But I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes when you're about to pray against an evil spirit, the slides don't work. Oh, believe me, I have had that thought this morning. Sometimes the slides don't work, and they distract you, and they give you impressions that are like, oh, I don't like that. It reminds me of Screwtape Letters. You ever read Screwtape Letters? It's a great book. The demon comes up behind the guy in the church and says, hey, you see that lady over there? Man, she shouldn't be dressed like that. And it made the guy start thinking, you know, I don't think she should be dressed like that. And he completely missed the whole message. See, the things in church sometimes, all the flashy things we do, it's great. I love it. I'm waiting for the lights to work again because they're just not working right now. I got to get wires and stuff, and it's money. And yeah, the wires are not working right. But here's the thing. That's all cool and well and fine and stuff, but do y'all remember what was happening when it was broken? It would just flash. That's distracting. It distracts me. I have ADHD, and it's behind me. It would distract you like crazy. Let's go on. When it became known that the Jews and Greeks live when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all Ephesus. You remember Ephesus? What? Wait a minute. Where's this armor of God letter going to? Oh, that's right, Ephesus. All right. So when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Why? Because the demons are afraid of it. Well, if they're afraid of it, we should definitely be honoring God's name. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. So, I want us to all avoid our own Sons of Sceva moment, which means if you are against these spirits, you have to do so praying in the Holy Spirit and fully clad in the armor of God. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to go through one of these. Just one. We're only going to pray against one spirit today. Sound good? But here's the deal. If you're not prepared, don't join us. You can watch. Okay? If you don't feel like you're prepared for this battle, just stand back and watch. But if you think you're ready, if you want to go for it, I'm going to tell you, it's not scary because we have God on our side. But this is spiritual warfare. And I'm doing this in a Sunday service, which I normally would never do. Because some folks that are here, I don't know you. And I usually don't go this deep on a Sunday morning. Ask anyone who's been here a lot. They'll tell you, I don't go this deep. But we're going to do it. Sound good? Should I wait? Should I wait? You think? Okay. All right. So, this is what we're going to do. There's a couple steps that we're going to do. We're going to start from the very beginning because one thing that he does lay out in here is actually a procedure and a process to do it. Now, as you do this more, it's just like anything else. You can learn how to do different processes and procedures. Like the first time you, it's like the first time you drive to work. When you start a new job and you drive to work for the very first time, what directions are you following? The directions on the GPS, because you don't know how to get there, right? But eventually, you know how to get there, and then you learn all the back roads and all that, which is good. You can go that way. But for today, and we're doing this corporately, let's have a process here, okay? We'll do one at a time, and we'll go from there. Now, I'm not going to make you stand because this is going to take a few minutes, okay? So let's start from the very beginning. We're going to spend some time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and how this is going to work, this is going to be you. We're going to bow our heads, we're going to pray, and we're going to spend some time with the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we present ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, we need your guidance. We need your direction. Please prepare our steps as we move into spiritual warfare today. Protect us. Now we're going to spend some fellowship with Jesus. Jesus, I thank you so much for what you've done. You've made a way for us to have relationship with your Father again, to have relationship with yourself. You've given us the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Now we're going to spend a little time in fellowship with Father God. Lord, you're the creator and sustainer of all things. You are the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Nothing exists without you, God. Now we're going to proclaim who the Lord is. Lord, you are the creator. You are the sustainer. You are the provider. You are the healer. You are the grace giver. You are the one that has made the seas rise and fall, that has created the sun and the moon and the stars, and the planets, God, and the universe. You are so much more than all of us, Lord. You control it all. And now we're going to put on the armor of God. We have to be protected and ready for battle. Lord God, I pray right now that each of us would put on that helmet of salvation. Those of us who are saved, we know you as Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of our life. That we would have a complete connection with you, God. That you would guard our hearts and our minds, extending into the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, I pray that my heart will be turned towards you and always. Lord, forgive me of the sins in my life. Forgive me of all that I've done wrong. Lord, I place your belt of truth around my waist. The truth is that nothing exists without you. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in you we have peace. Lord, I pray that we would have faith as we move forward and continue into spiritual combat in the army of the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the sword of the Spirit and direction on how to use it. Jesus, I pray that the blood of Jesus, that your blood would be upon us and protect us, Lord. I pray that you would be protecting us. Church, today we're going to be praying against the spirit of abandonment. Scriptures that go along with the spirit of abandonment is Deuteronomy 18. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. Deuteronomy 24:17 says, "Do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge." Psalm 22:11 says, "Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help." Psalm 27:9 says, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior." Psalm 44:23-25 says this, "Awake, Lord. Why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to dust. Our bodies cling to the ground." Psalm 88:4, "I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength." John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Christ has come that we may have life and have it to the full." The spirit of abandonment is a spirit that tries to create havoc by causing events of desertion, which is to be left empty or alone, defection, which is disown allegiance to, desolation, to forsake, abandon, or lay waste, disaffiliation, to separate from an organization or people once loved. Disaffection is to cause to lose affection or loyalty. Renunciation is to give up a possession, claim, or right. An alienation, which is to cause to become unfriendly, hostile, or estranged. To happen, Lord, in this, a spirit that tries to create havoc by causing these events to happen in the life of individuals, leaving them feeling abandoned and devastated. We are now going to begin to bind the spirits. The spirit that influences is the spirit of abandonment. Lord, I pray that the spirit of abandonment will be bound and could not harm those of us who are here. God, I pray against the cooperating spirits of generational harm. I pray against rejection. I pray against betrayal. I pray a binding against hatred or murder, death or destruction, separation or division, property, greed, or poverty, greed, or kleptomania. God, I pray a binding against all of those. I pray a binding against accusations and slander. I pray against control. I bind control. I bind, Lord God, unclean things and adultery. I bind, God, envy and jealousy. Lord, I bind witchcraft. And I bind despair in Jesus' name. Lord, I bind all of the signs of abandonment, the inward feelings of aloneness, worthlessness, helplessness, hopelessness, carelessness, depression, oppression, isolation, and brokenness. Lord, I bind the outward feelings of clinginess, loosing, controlling, loners, seekers, destroyers, and jesters. Lord, I pray a loosing of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray a loosing of abundant life. I pray that loosed will be love of God the Father. I pray that there will be loosed amongst all of us an acceptance. Lord, I pray a loosing of healing in everyone who has ever felt abandoned. And finally, God, I pray against the footholds that would keep us from finding freedom from abandonment. Lord, if we've been an unwanted child, if we've been adopted and we feel abandoned because of it, if we've been through a divorce, if we've had death or loss of loved ones, if we feel rejected by our siblings, if we've lost property, or we've always just felt a continual feeling of rejection, God, Lord, I pray that you would keep us from the footholds of any empty nests, that we would not believe lies, that we would not participate in or be a part of grumbling or complaining. Lord, I pray against the foothold of bitterness, the foothold of unforgiveness, and the foothold of continually eyeing the temporal, the temporary things, God. In all of this, I pray for your mercy and that the spirit of abandonment would be bound and broken in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. It took 7 minutes. Now, if you go through this, it can be a little more detailed, of course. You can tell I shortened the whole thing a little bit for time's sake, but did anyone sense that? The spiritual warfare? Some of this stuff, man, it hits real close to home, doesn't it? Good. That's what it's for. I want to encourage you, if you want a copy of this book, it's back there on the back table. I can also print off more, or I can email it to you. You can put it on your iPad, your Kindle, your phone, whatever. Because I know it's called Spirits of Influence. You're not going to find it online. It was something he gave me directly. We're going to leave here today, but I want you to remember this. Continually be in prayer and be ready, and don't neglect asking God's guidance and protection. He gave us this armor for a reason. So we got to use it. And remember, his armor was made for you. It's not a cookie cutter thing. It's an intimate you and him thing. Will you stand with me? Lord God, I thank you that you brought us here together today. I know praying against spiritual warfare can be very hard and strange for some people. But God, these spiritual things are not going to go away if we just ignore them. God, I thank you that we've had an opportunity to study your word and learn more about the armor of God. I pray that each of us can learn how to equip ourselves daily with your armor. And Lord, I pray that each of us would live our lives knowing that we are a walking, talking, moving, breathing prayer. Everything we do is in front of you. Lord, change us. Don't let us want to stay the same after today. And God, you're going to do amazing things in our world. I pray that each of us could be a part of that. Help us to find who you are and what you're doing, where we are, and to work in your spirit. Pray in your spirit. I pray that each of us would be alert and ready to engage. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, you made it. It was a long one. So I love you guys. Have an amazing week, and I will look forward to seeing y'all again.